Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Amen. You know, while I was thinking of this topic yesterday, I tried changing it several times because I felt like I was wanting to teach more of spiritual growth. But as I tried changing it, I was having an unrest in my spirit. And I said to myself, even though this doesn't look like it makes sense, let me go ahead and teach it. You know, not make sense as a topic, but in my spirit. And I understood why God wanted me to talk about this. Hallelujah to Jesus. Alright, so let's start with Hebrews 4. From verse 3. It says, for those of us who believe, faith activates the promise and we experience the realm of confident rest. For he has said, I was agree with them and he made a solemn oath, they will never enter into the calming rest of my spirit. God's works have all been completed from the foundation of the world. Let's see it in the NKJV, because even myself, I'm not remembering this part of scripture. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. There's a rest that's been prepared. But why did they not enter? The Bible speaking, if you read more, it says they did not miss what they heard with faith. Are we together? They were not in faith. That is why they didn't enter the rest prepared for them by God Almighty. What was the rest for them? A place where everything they dreamt of having as a city will be made available. The way the Bible explains it is a place, a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. But they did not enter. You can even read from verse 1 so that we get a clearer perspective. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. What God is saying is that where he has prepared for us is a place of rest. Amen? I wish I can do it in the Hebrew. Let me just dare to do it. In the Greek, amen. Is a place of rest. Let's see the root word. Yahweh Sabaoth. Let therefore, all right, rest. Okay. That there's a rest prepared for us, all right? Therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Next part of scripture. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not what? Profit them. Not being mixed with what? Faith in those who heard it. Ooh. Next part of scripture. For we who have believe, do enter that rest, as he said. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. This teaching is going to take another turn. I think the Lord is just making me remember a lot of things. It's making more sense. Let's see Deuteronomy 1:39. Very fast. I pray it's there. This will be a sign. Alright. It's a sign. Moreover, your little ones and your children who you say will be victims, who today have no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in there. To them I will give it. To them I will give the land of course. That's the eat there, right? And they shall possess it. Ooh, glory. And we just left where he said they did not enter into his rest because they did not miss the word of God they heard with what? Faith. And here is he saying that the little ones who they are calling victims, are we together? Now God is a good father. Are you seeing it? That whatever your father started, you are not going to be a victim of it. Are you guys seeing it here? Yeah? Is that the little ones who you spoke on and said this, they will not be part of you, they will enter into the rest. I'm not going to make them victims of what you are, of your foolishness right now. But that's not the point. They didn't enter the rest, but more importantly, because I was praying this afternoon, was it towards last night afternoon, and I'm sure the people have some, I want to talk about it, I wanted to speak to this brother for a while now, and he has been wanting to speak with me online. He met me and he sensed he needed to speak to me. So we started speaking, to cut the long story short. And my eyes were open and we started getting into the prophetic. It was the first time we were speaking. And as the Holy Ghost was helping us to see through deeper and deeper, my eyes were open. And I just heard this part of scripture. It said, the little ones who have not yet. So I believe that's why God was insisting I teach this. Because he knows I'll arrive here. Know the difference between good and evil. He said, they shall go in there. To them I will give it and they shall possess it. What does this mean? Can you remember Genesis 1? The tree of life? Can you remember? And the tree of knowledge of what? Good and evil. What do you think that tree of knowledge of good and evil means? If you check scripture vividly, because scriptures explain scripture. Let's look at Hebrews 5 from verse 12. Hebrews 5, so as to explain what the Lord has said in Genesis, because scriptures, that's what the Lord says, explain scriptures. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, Paul speaking, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the other oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Are we here? It is more like a consolation that the problem has not started. It did not start today. When somebody ought to be a teacher, but is behaving like a child. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? When you ought to be teaching others, but you are behaving like a child. It happened in Paul's assembly, and here is Paul addressing it. He said, you have come to need what? Milk. And not what? Solid food. Are we together? You can come to that point. How can somebody who is grown under Paul, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Paul speaking like this about them. It means they've been seeing things wrongly, even in the assembly of Paul for a long time. You cannot help somebody that doesn't want to be helped. You know, one time Pastor Benson posted something, and I had to comment on it to give him a better exposition of that post. He posted someone how many of you saw that post? Pouring Pastor Ed Benson, yes. Pouring water and people. They were in a line, so they were pouring water in the people. And it got to somebody, he already had water poured on his inside. Another color, I think it was red. Isn't it? So they left that person and went to the next person. So I said, okay, for me, this is good, this is true. But you see, it is also possible that when you pour and reach here, you may not be able to reach the rest because this one thinks is already filled. So I saw it in the light of leadership. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Not just the point. Yes, they jumped this person, but I said it is possible that this person now, since he cannot be impacted, will affect the flow to continue. I saw it from the eyes of leadership. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So here is Paul saying, you ought to be teachers, because the devil's goal is to make sure that whatever has the potency to wipe him off the earth, he will try to fight and destroy. Whatever, listen carefully, Satan knows the level of fire intensity you have in the realm of the spirit. He has a clue. Not all, he has a clue. He has a clue. Paul called one of the trials he faced test of light. I mean, when Satan heard the kind of things Paul was saying, he said, if this thing really prevail in this man's life and get to the nations, we will have no rest again upon the face of the earth. So he brought upon Paul a certain trial and temptation that made Paul to start questioning what he had believed for years. Imagine Paul in 2 Corinthians 12. This is Paul who had written First Romans. You know, you get what I'm trying to say? 1 Corinthians, and in 2 Corinthians, Paul said there was a certain infirmity that came upon me, and I sought the Lord 3 times to take it away from me. And yet the Lord still said what he had been saying to Paul. Because that's the reason for Christ, is to question the integrity of God's word. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? To question it. But you see, the beautiful thing is that there is no trial that has come to us beyond our ability to overcome. The reason why it came is because Satan knows what you have on your inside has the potency to end him on the earth and to bring you into glory. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So he's coming to quench that fire. Meanwhile, that fire already has the potency to destroy him. Do you guys get what I'm trying to explain to you? And so, because of the Bible speaking, he said, because of the word in them, alright, the enemy brought a season of trial, deep trial and temptation. So Paul was there in that season of his life. If you read the scripture properly, why 2 Corinthians 12? It's far. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And he said, I saw the Lord to remove this infirmity from me 3 times. Now, people are arguing, maybe it's headache, maybe it's an addict. We don't care what it is. Infirmity is infirmity. You know, there are some things that are not necessary to be stressing your mind about. It's just like wondering what particular infirmity did Paul have. Is that going to solve anything? Is there a higher realm of infirmity and a lower realm of infirmity that makes you pleasing to God? All infirmity are what? Infirmity. So you don't need to stress your brain there. It was an infirmity. He sought the Lord. Whatever it is, that was it. And the Lord spoke to him the same thing he has been saying. Because that thing came to what? Quench the fire, to question the integrity of God's word on the inside of Paul already, who was the teacher of those things that Satan is trying to bring situations to question in his heart. He said, God speaking to him the same thing. He said, Paul, my strength is what? Perfect in weakness. My grace is what? Sufficient for you. I was teaching a pastor and I said, sometimes you think because you teach grace, you are living grace. A lot of times, people that won't seem to have revelation are not even living like the revelation they claim they know. And somehow I'm being quite careful, but I just want to still express myself that I sense somehow that for God to insist to Paul what he had told Paul before, it simply means somehow God saw that Paul was living from his strength, even though Paul was speaking the grace of God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And that's why God told him, see Paul, my what? In weakness. Meaning, even if you have been teaching this thing right now, this is where what you have been teaching should find expression. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? At that point, that means that the reason why, listen to me, Satan had a foothold over in the life of Paul was because somehow there was Paul trying to live. Paul at a certain place, at certain phases of his life, was trying to live by strength. And as long as he was trying to live by human effort, that paved way for Satan to come into his life. Listen carefully. Because how come we are hearing God now saying, Paul, now my strength is perfect in weakness. If God's strength has been working in Paul fully before that trial would have not come. God would have not made that declaration. For God to say in this trial that, Paul, now my strength can be perfect in weakness, it simply means God is seeing Paul now in a perfect state where his strength can fully find expression. And of course, it is passing a message that it was not like that before that situation. I don't know that you people are getting what I'm trying to explain to you. Can you picture what I'm saying? For him to say, my strength is now what? Perfect in weakness. My grace is now what? Sufficient. It means it was not fully the grace of God. Paul did not fully was walking in the grace of God. Somehow there was still human effort in everything he was doing. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So sometimes, even if you teach this thing, there may still be human effort. Because you see, knowledge and understanding are two different things. Understanding is the application of knowledge. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So Paul said something. He said, because of the abundance of light, what? Huh? Talk to me. Because of what? Because of the abundance, plentiness of light given to me. He said, the enemy put a thorn on my flesh. Are you catching something now? To question the integrity of God's word that Paul has been speaking to many people and speaking to himself over the years. And here is Paul in a situation. He thought the word of God is not true. Not knowing that Satan was even making sure that the environment for the word of God to find full expression is ready. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? Because just when he brought that situation to Paul, he brought it because there was a foothold. What was the foothold? Somehow there was human effort in Paul. What I'm saying, some people may question it and think I'm foolish. But if you calm down and listen to me, you understand where I'm speaking from. Because for God to say, now my strength is perfect in weakness. Somehow, before Paul got to this point, it was not all of God's strength he was functioning. There was still human effort. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? For him to say, my grace is what? Sufficient. Meaning it was not sufficient before, let's be clear. Not because it was not sufficient from God's part, but maybe the receiving from Paul. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? It was not sufficient yet. But this is an important point. Just when Satan thought he was trying to deal with Paul and end Paul's ministry, God now said Satan actually helped us for the full strength and the full grace to find expression. Do you get what I just said? Did you really understand what I just said? No. Because he sought the Lord how many times? 3 times. He didn't go out. Because 2 Corinthians said, there is no temptation that has come to us beyond our ability to overcome. Are you getting the point? Can you connect everything I'm trying to do right now? There is no temptation that has come to us beyond our ability to overcome. So a temptation came to Paul. And God is declaring like there is actually already an ability to overcome in Paul. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He said, Paul, we are not bringing anything from heaven. You are calling for an answer from heaven. You are calling for an answer from heaven. No answer is coming from heaven. You see that addiction? Before the addiction came, you had the power of God on your inside that can do immeasurable, unlimited, above... A power that is immeasurable, unlimited, and a power that what surpasses great. That power was already in you before the addition came. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? So now that you are feeling so weak, like you are giving up, like I can't stop this thing, blah blah blah, it's taking over me. At this point, as we are talking, this is the best, you have become the best container for the grace of God to find expression. So where there is sin, grace abides even. Because your weakness have found full expression right now. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And then just when you think you should give up, God is saying, now that you think you should give up, this is the best time for my strength to find expression. Listen, Satan is part of the equation though. He is the one that does the dirty job. He will never be wise. Even after this preaching, he's hearing me, but he will still be foolish again. Because as long as God is in this deal, as long as God is in the equation, he must be the foolish one. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? He will try everything he wants to try. At the end, he will observe that he has actually helped God. Because Paul was sorting the Lord many times. I'm sure Satan was having a good time when Paul was crying. But at the end, God said, Paul, don't cry. Satan has prepared a vessel for my full strength to find expression. For my grace to be what? Sufficient. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I was going somewhere, that's why I came here. Because as our friend Lord spoke to me, he said, the little ones who have not yet known the difference between what? Good and evil. He said, they are the one that will enter the promised land. It's a mystery. I wanted to write it on my status, but I just said there was no need. Because nobody understands it except me. Hallelujah to Jesus. Although I will use it to teach faith. And I pray I'm able to still explain it, what the Holy Ghost shared with me last night. Glory to God. Because if you look at the children of Israel, what was wrong? What was wrong? What was wrong? What was the problem? One of their major problems that God the years in Egypt extended was that Moses came. Firstly, Moses came. Because you see, Moses already is, you know, if you are really called to do something, you will be feeling the fire already on your inside. Firstly, Moses was seeing how they were beating an Israelite. He couldn't help it. to go, not knowing that the reason why he reacted the way he reacted is because he has been called to save the Israelites. And you people get on trying to explain to you. So he went, and per adventure he killed. And so he took the guy and hid him somewhere, the corpse, and he went back home. The next day when he came, it was the Israelites that were against him. He saw two Israelites fighting. He tried to stop them. He said, "Who made you a judge?" Can you imagine? This is the man called to save your generation. They say, "Who made you a judge and a ruler over us?" Listen, he was trying to help two people fighting. Are you listening to me? He was trying to stop the fight. Not knowing that whatever he was trying to do, it was because something was already on his inside. There was a call. That was what he was responding to. And as he tried to save them, what happened? Two of them told him, "Who made you a judge?" The same people he's trying to help. The call started with problem for Moses. And what happened? They threatened that the news was going to go everywhere. From whatever he heard from them, he said, probably everybody knows that I killed an Egyptian. And of course, Pharaoh is going to call for me very soon, which he did. But Moses already fled to another city, another village. Are we together? Where he now had an encounter. An encounter that God appeared to him through the ministry of an angel and told him that he had called him to save the children of Israel. Are you able to get out and try to explain? Glory to God forevermore. All this thing now, you'll be wondering, if you were Moses now for a minute, you'll be wondering what the heck is happening with your life. From palace to one village, to marrying one girl, that one man who had sheep, it was raising. You went to one man, and the man had sheep plenty, and you saw his daughter, and you married her. I mean, you are coming from palace. And how the hell did you come here? You came here because you were trying to help a people that you feel are your people. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because if they were wise, if they heeded that information, who will know that an Egyptian died? Because no Egyptian was there. It was only Israelite. He was trying to beat an Israelite. He killed the Egyptian. And Israelite took the information out. And now see where he is. So who he married. I'm not saying he made a mistake with his marriage, because the marriage profited him in the future. The father-in-law gave him an advice that saved his life. Then he had an encounter. See how God does with a man. You'll just be doing it like this. They carry you go where you don't know. He was there. He thought it was finished. He was finished. But do you know that it was God that took him there. Everything, as everything was working, it was working together for good. He went there. Satan thought he was working. Because if Moses never left that environment, he would never have an encounter. He probably would not have. Is he in the palace? He will see burning bush. How will he have that encounter? God only did something that caught his attention. Because he didn't know how to start the conversation with the guy. Do you know what I'm trying to say? So he did something. There was grass, it was burning, but it was not consumed. And the problem with some of us is that sometimes God does something to get our attention, but we don't go close to find out what God is doing. How many of you have had dreams that you are wanting such a beautiful experience? You are telling people, yesterday I saw myself. I was going to the nations. I was flying. This thing was happening to me when I was praying. But because you didn't go close to find out why, probably that's why you have not started touching the fulfillment of destiny yet. You just allowed it to slide. I'm going to be painting a lot of examples with every part of what I'm teaching tonight. And when Moses went there and encountered the Lord now took him back. That was his call. Go back to where you killed somebody. Go back there. He went back there and was able to confront Pharaoh. Why? We're going somewhere. Are you here? Why did he have the impetus? No Israelite born of a woman could stand before Pharaoh. Please listen to me carefully. They did not bond that Israelite well. Even though God has given them, you know, even if God speaks to their heart, they will know, they will feel like it's Satan that is tempting them to go and die. They were not, you know, as they grew up, they were not trained to see Pharaoh as somebody they can contend with. They saw Pharaoh as a god. They knew themselves to be slaves. So God said, "The man I will use, I will create a condition for him, an ecological need, that so that when he grows up, this thing that has been keeping these people for more than 400 and something years, he will be able to take them away from it." So God made sure that firstly, Moses was not trained in the same environment the Israelites were trained. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So you want to save your family out, you don't go to join them. You get another train and take them out. I hear people get out and trying to explain. God will give you another training. You must have the impetus to embrace that training. Tell somebody, have the impetus. Embrace that training. Don't choose comfort. Don't choose comfort. So now if I go, they are going to be giving me beans. They are going to be giving me rice. There's food every time. You don't know that this point where you have to pay for your rent and make sure you arrange your life. You are thinking, as you are seated now, you are thinking of what you go and eat. It would have not been like that if you were in Lagos. Because you see, there, everything is figured out. Now that's why you'll be 30 and still be having less than 50,000 in your account. Because you are not responsible for anything about your life. Are you getting this thing now? And for a moment, your family may want to fight you. Wait till you start earning 500,000. They will bless you and ask if they can send a child to come and grow with you. These are the same people saying, come back home. The Bible says, whatever you lose for my sake in this world, you gain it times two. Many of you say, imagine Jesus listening to Mary. It's not like Mary was a bad person. She carried this boy, our Savior. The child Jesus, 9 months in the womb. She's the mother of Jesus. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? She suffered. She carried him. You know the way women will say, I carry you 9 months from my belly. She carried him. And all of a sudden, her child is nowhere to be found. You know, I always have this perspective that I don't think Joseph really had a problem. He was just being a nice lover to Mary. The Lord give you understanding. I will ask him one day when I meet him in heaven. Hallelujah. I will ask Joseph, did you really talk the truth? Did you really care that Jesus was not around? Bible said, that's why the Bible never said a sword pierced the heart of Joseph. He didn't live like, it was Mary, they said a sword pierced the heart. She lived like a sword pierced the heart. Although a sword has pierced your heart, you are still walking and living. Meaning the kind of issues she saw with Jesus, it was as if they took sword inside her heart. Yes, that's what the Bible said. You are looking for your child of 12 or less. For how many days? How many days? How many of you can sleep if your son of 3 days cannot be found? That's not Ito. Then you now found him. Then you now talk like Mary. You were born in a Ajegunle. You know, I heard somebody saying there's a way you know responsible children. He said, if you see any child doing Yahoo, they did not flog you with Koboko. He said, Koboko has a way of removing foolishness. Future foolishness. He said, if you see children doing Yahoo, but say, just check them. They don't even know what Koboko is. They just heard it. You know, these days, if you flog a child, parents will go to the school for PTA meeting. Those days, if you flog a child, if you come and tell, the teacher will say, you will report me. You will come back. We'll call you to the staff room. Now you report me. Lie down. If your name is your name, go and report me again. You are the one that will be guarding the teacher's name at home. He did not flog me. He did not. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. That was not the height of it. Jesus now said, mother. Well, you see, mother, it should have been better. Woman. You call your mama woman. How many of you, I don't know if it happens to me alone. How many of you ever greeted your mother, well done, ma? She called you and asked you, am I your mate? What is well done? Are you stupid? How many of you have? Like you say ma at the end, but the problem is that you say well done. Talk less of saying to a Nigerian mother, woman. And that's why I'm advising you. You are not in Israel, though. And your name is not Jesus. You don't say woman. You say mommy, male, mama. The problem is that if you still say it, you collect anyhow you say it. You don't know, say, I suppose they do my father business. Don't you know I must go about doing my father's business? You know, one time the Lord, they called me to preach in Kaduna. I was still young. A ministry wanted me to preach on campus, 200 level. You know, I cut my ministrations, I think from 200 level, I had to cut it off because it was affecting my academics. You'll be hearing tests, but I'm in Kaduna. And test they go, no, prophet is in Kaduna. You know, so one day I just took the initiative. I said, this is foolishness. Let me finish school first and face ministry. So I cut off. He said, come to him, can you say, no, I'm a student. I know I'm a prophet, but I'm a student first. So, hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. So, what story was I trying to say? So, I told my dad one time I was going to Kaduna because he would have not known, but I just called him because I'm a good child. The dad, I have to go to Kaduna. They called me to minister somewhere. I didn't say, I said, God wants me to bless a particular people, so I'm going there to minister. He said, if you try this, are you stupid, my friend? Go back home. And believe me, those guys were really anticipating that ministration. I sensed in my spirit I needed to go. So I now said I was not going to go again, but I now felt like I should go. So I started going. The next day, I took car, the next bus to Kaduna. On the road, he now called, Simon, where are you? I couldn't lie. I said, on my way to Kaduna. I said, he now said, did I not warn you not to go to Kaduna? I said, God said, I thought to console him. I said, God, my father, told me to go and preach in Kaduna. He said, you have been disowned. He ended the call. My mother called me a few minutes later. What happened between you and your father? I said, God Almighty. God, you know, you have to put it to them like that. God Almighty, the creator of the whole universe, said to me to go and preach in Kaduna. Say, Simon. I said, Mommy is God. Who can question God? Is my father not supposed to listen to God? They disowned me. Immediately I was disowned. So she now said, well, they have disowned you. Your dad said he has disowned you. You know, I've done plenty things before that time, so it was gathering up. I was supposed to sign something, visa to Russia. Was it Russia or Canada to go and study medicine? Just the last thing to do, process. We went there. I was seeing how the man was ready to collect my dad's money so that I will fly, blah, blah, blah. That time, Yahoo have not started. Things were better. The way they were both excited, I said, am I going to really go to Canada? So at the door, I said, Daddy, excuse me. He said, what was it? He did not come to me. He just raised his head. What was it? I said, God did not say I should go to Canada. I'm not going to Canada. He looked at the man. Two of them looked at me the same time. They looked at themselves. He said, my brother, I'm coming. He called me outside. I said, are you stupid? Are you? I will force you. I will slap you. What did you just say? Don't you know that plenty of children are looking for this opportunity? Go and study medicine so that you help your family. I said, sir, God told me. God told me. Hey, he didn't want to beat me in public. He said, we should enter the car. We entered silence. If you see the way my father was speeding back home. As we got home, he just opened. Just went inside. Went to the room. And laid down. My mother called me again. Another problem had started. Whatever. After we have gathered all the money, I heard them. Imagine, it was in millions. Over 2 million. This boy. His uncles. My brothers. I've cost him in the village. You see, that's why I didn't want him to go to Benue. I know why. Now he went to Benue. They planned something for him. I pitied my dad for a moment. You know, I understand where he was coming from. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But I still have to reject it. About military. Done with everything. Bring your son. That's your consolation. There's a lot of stories, but I don't want to go deep into it. But they were going to console him with me getting into the military. And if I was in the military, I should be a major by now, or a lieutenant colonel by now. at the time I applied. Just before the thing, when I passed Jamin, there was joy. Just before the list would come out, Simon gathered 3,000, went to buy change of form on his own. My father only found that not too long, and changed the institution to BSU. My dad was wondering where, what the heck, because the problem, they now told him, we did not see your child's app. He said he applied, I know, it's a lie. Him, I'm telling him, I don't know why they did not give me the, they did not give me. So my, we just after that's how they promised and failed. I said, maybe they did not give me as well. I'll just go to school. They gave me biotech, technology, and plant science. I couldn't imagine it. God bless everybody doing that. I came. They now said I did a wrong subject combination. Guess what course they now told me to do? Integrated science. God bless everyone doing it. Again, I say, it's not something to laugh about. It's just that, you know, when you did integrated science in Genesis, you now heard you are doing integrated science in the university. There's a way the thing is painted. Even just the way you are laughing, if they say integrated science student, the class begin to laugh. Do you, how many of you have seen where they call for integrated science student? You see, they have even ashamed to come up because the whole school begin to laugh, even in lectures. So they didn't even know me in the integrated science, because anytime they call for us, I'm always by the side watching them. They'll go there, they'll say you are denying us, but in fact one time they even threatened with Mark, we'll remove Mark. I still did not go. I said for me to go there, it's better I lose 5 marks, I'll still make an A. Amen. That's how it went though. I chose the integrated science. Somebody will say maybe he just wanted to do it. Mm-mm. It was not integrated science I chose, it was my calling I chose. Are you listening to me? I chose it because of what my, this is somebody that's supposed to go and study medicine outside, but I chose it because it will give me the privilege to fulfill the call of God on my life. As time went by, of course I was the best. I left my GP like that and I switched to computer science. Somehow I agree, at some point I lost interest for education. Well, I don't want to go deep into that because I didn't pay attention at some point, but of course I'm a graduate and that's all that matters. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. So somebody may say, why did he choose the blah 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 blah. You know, even in computer science, it was at 300 level my coursemates started knowing me. Second semester, they gave us one project to do, so they grouped us. So when I came, they said, are you a computer science student? I looked at the lady, I said, yes, of course. You? We thought, we've been telling ourselves that you are reading medicine. You just used to come here to read. I said, no, I'm computer science. So while we're talking, they said, you know, Pastor Simon, so you'll be our group leader. I said, no. They said, sir, you must be our group leader. I said, these people don't know that I don't have interest in this thing. So when they gave me now, I have to now prove myself. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So they said I should go and do the studies. I bring, whatever I bring, they know they will have A's. They put A's already for themselves. And it was recurrent neural network. And I got it in their cognition models. So I did the study and truly what I brought gave everybody, almost everybody, an A. Hallelujah to Jesus. I think I did a foolishness. On the day of presentation, one guy who didn't know any of the thing we did, because I gave them to read, he now told me he wants to present it. So that they'll give him A. Then me, since I know it, I'll answer, they'll give me A. Foolishly, I accepted. He went and presented rubbish. Then I asked one more time, is this your group leader? I wanted to say no. I just did my hand like this. The man now thought I was raising my hand for a question. He said, you come outside. What was this when he asked me, I answer? What was this? Then I said, how the hell did this one become your group leader? He said, well, for doing the work, I'll give him A. For you people following, B, C. Hey! My work. Anytime I think of this thing, I always get annoyed. They carried my glory, just like and gave to somebody else for doing the work. Hey, well, he was a smart guy. God bless him wherever he was, he is. Hallelujah to Jesus. Just for the call back to Jesus, I chose this path. So you can imagine the sacrifice of Moses. This is what some people that God calls go through. Are you listening to me? Just for the call. You know, one time I heard Pastor Irene speaking, I think it was churches that posted, saying how that when they started ministry, he had to force, you know, if you are sitting in the front here, it's not just stature, it's not just for sight, for beauty. If you are sitting in the front here, I mean, you are in the hottest part of the fire. So he said he told his pastors to sell everything they've got. I got interested. Everything they've got, iPad, so they sold to pay rent. I say rent. Thank God for growth. I've never forced anybody here to sell. We have never come to a point where we need to sell it to pay rent by God's special grace. You know, and I'm not looking down on him. We are growing every day. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? I'm sure if he knew better, maybe that would have not happened. But that was the best he could do at that point. So he said, sell all you've got. We are moving to another location. But they saw iPad, phone, blah, 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 blah. And they move. You see, the church today is doing so well by God's special grace. They are doing a lot of things and etc. But many don't never understood except by this story. I'm sure somebody touched him in his side. He had to start coming out to talk in this dimension. Many didn't understand that it was grown upon leadership. Real sacrifice. So he said, after some frustration in ministry from people and etc., one time, he was born out spiritually, physically, but he still was teaching on faith. I'm sure some of you saw that video. And as he was teaching on faith, the message went viral, and he was wondering, because if they knew what was happening in his heart when he was teaching on that faith, they would know that he was just making noise. Alright? And the pastors observed that our pastor is not, something is wrong with our pastor, blah, blah, blah. So they gathered some money and gave him to go for vacation. And he went somewhere, he mentioned where the hotel is under water. They just made sure he went there. They wanted him to have a good treat, to enjoy himself for a while. And he said when he was there, that is when the vision started opening up to him. More and more and more, you know. He now said one time while he was there in the vacation doing the retreat, he now posted one picture in the place, and somebody now mentioned, some people now mentioned, so this is what you are using church offering to do. He said when he looked at the message, he made a statement in vernacular. I said, make a no lie, the team pay me. I started laughing. Now you can imagine somebody with all those sacrifices. Are you listening to me? They thought it was our pastor is dying. Let's just take him somewhere to go and see that life is good and God is good. At the expense of themselves, they sacrifice. And somebody had the impetus just because of a picture. See what they use church money. And such an individual probably have never given anything to the church. So he was wondering, and I was just smiling and wondering. You know, I could tell, you know, pastors understand pastors. I could tell he's offended that season at something. Something stirred that thing. And I remember in the message he was saying, some people, service is going on. They are coming to church and making call, walking majestically. Have you seen people like that? Majestically. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now he was trying to paint a picture that pastors should be appreciated. But this is it. One with the call of God, these are the kind of sacrifices they go through. Are you listening to me? God will just carry you, see from palace to one village. And it was intentional. Because, you know, when God saw an opportunity, where this boy is, it will be easy to hear me. Oh! Grass was burning, was not being consumed. It caught his attention. If he was in the palace, where will he see grass? And suddenly he came there. God does not have a business with what you cannot eat, whether you are eating curry right now. That's not the point. There's somewhere where we want to go to. Remember the issue with Job. He said anything you want to do, don't touch his life. As long as you will not die, God wants to achieve something in your heart yet. Some people don't like what I'm saying, oh, but it will not change God. Oh. I know some of you are wondering, God should be considerate. See, as long as He is sure you will not die. There's a slogan in football, when you are tired, we'll be saying, nobody dies, let's move. As long as He understands, He knows nobody will die, He wants to make sure. Whatever is supposed to be standing in your heart stands. Whatever should be highlighted from your soul should be highlighted. Maybe there's an emphasis He's making, He's trying to make that you are not picking, you are not catching. There's a signal He's trying to initiate in your heart that you are not catching. He will allow Satan to take you to a place that you will catch it. I know you don't like this statement again. Did you like this last one? Satan will take you to a place, and the only reason why God will say stop is because you catch it. So, Satan, it's okay. Thank you. Now my son can move. The Bible said in the book of James 1 that that God cannot tempt us with evil. He has never tempted anybody. Who tempts them? Huh? Who tempts them? I know you are wondering, Old Testament. In the New Testament, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Are you listening to me? So as long as you are God's righteousness, He doesn't think you should be tempted. But He allows. That's why He said there is no temptation that has come to you beyond your ability to overcome. He gave Satan an open ticket. In the New Testament, this my people, do whatever you want to do. Nothing will touch them. Nobody dies. So when you come to that point, God is like, you will be charged yourself and come out from that situation. Am I saying sounding strange this evening to you people? Huh? Because right now, just imagine, I was being realistic with a young man. I said, let's be sincere. Let's be very sincere. He spoke to me some issues, some frustrations yet. So while I was counseling him, I was hearing, because, you know, he didn't seem like somebody that would be doing what the Holy Spirit is telling me. And it was disturbing my ear in the realm of the Spirit. So while I was prophesying, all the glories I'm seeing, and he was shouting, the Holy Ghost said one thing that looked like this is not the person He's talking about. So I kept quiet. Because, you know, prophet don't like to miss the prophetic. They always feel embarrassed. But just before I ended, I still heard the same word. So I said, brother, purity. He said, I shouted, sir, this is it. I've been addicted, blah, blah, blah. I thought to myself, could this be the reason why the promises are delayed? Could this be? Hallelujah to Jesus. Because you see, you in that situation is you proving that if you get to certain heights, it will not just be something you do in the closet. It may be something that you do in the open. Now, probably you are doing it in the closet yet because you don't have the opportunity, every resources it will take to do it in the open. Imagine you have the funds to just fly to Dubai and come back the same day. Do you know some people don't mind to take a lady to Dubai for a week and come back while their wife is taking their business meeting? This is what people are using money to do. Why some people are perishing? But somebody will carry money over millions to take a lady somewhere, even though he had a wife. He has a wife already. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You see the level of foolishness. That's why the Bible says the prosperity of a fool what destroys. And whatever he's going to do with that lady is destroying him. He's paying his way into destruction. So now, right now is something you are doing in the dark, but it has the potency to destroy you in the future. But don't forget that as you climb up in success, you are having more comfort. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Right now, you can barely afford 3 square meals, yet you have the time to hide yourself somewhere and watch that dirty thing. Alright? Now, imagine you cannot afford 3 square meals. You have AC blowing. There is nothing disturbing your spirit that should even make you pray. Sometimes you even forget to pray. You may die in the situation. It may never leave you. Listen to me, people of God. At this level, if you can do it like this, what if you become more comfortable with success? You are in your house, you have a car, AC everywhere, anywhere you go, you are just calm like you are in heaven.
Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? Do you understand me deeply? Now, this is not the end of it. This is just like a phase. We are going forward. I'm not judging anybody yet. We are moving forward. But if you are God, will you allow somebody in this state to have $30 million? Will you allow somebody in this state to have $30 million? You know that you are just signing the debt of that person. As a good God, that you are, no matter how good you are, no matter how good you are, God is good, or he's not foolish. Get this. He's good. He's a good father. He's not foolish. You know, some of you think goodness is a foolish display of emotionality. That somebody is crying and you're like, pity you too. God is not like that. His love is not pity. His love is very considerate. When the Bible says God is love, they don't mean God is like, no. His love is bold. That's why the Bible says the love of the father. I keep on saying it, not the love of the mother. There's a reason. You know, women are more emotional than men. A child may be doing something that will harm him, but as long as he can cry, a woman will still leave him like that. Like the other day, I was removing the hand from my baby's mouth. The mother was feeling pity for the child. She came and said, Pastor Simon, leave her to suck small now. I said, no. She said, what if she had headache and fever? I said, she'll be healed because I'm here. But as long as I'm here, this mouth, hand will not enter this mouth. It looked like I was a very wicked father. And I refused to give her the child. I held her. She was crying. Wah! Wah! Rolling on the bed. I held the hand like this. And I kept on pressing my phone. Now, somebody may come and say, which kind of devil is this one? Demon of a father is this? Watching his baby girl roll on the ground. Just what is there? They will soak and one day they will stop. Training starts from the small, from small. I'm painting something in her heart. The other day, I was removing it. The mother held her. She started smiling. I said, hey! From plenty tears, crying to smiling. I said, Mama, are you seeing something? This one is not 1 year old. You carry her from my hand. She now put the hand. I was smiling. I said, oh, you will see. From this age, you have not reached 1 year. You see, she has already understood that what I'm telling her to do is bad. And you people get out and try to say. And that is why she was smiling, because she have had freedom. So you see the mindset. And I said, I have to be available for this girl. I'll cancel a lot of administration for this girl. I have to be available. Because of what I'm seeing now, this their love is not really love the way they think love is. You know, they are running away from me now. Just carry on. They will go and they'll be in their room. Me, I'll be my, I'm everybody who, you know, daddy I hate, mother I love, you know. That's not how God is. A father can be brutal, but he's the one that truly understands love. That's why some of you, if you grow only with your mom, not no insult, but it will be difficult to understand love. If there was no father figure in your life, if you see a young man that grew only with his mom, no insults, not to make him feel bad or her feel bad. Most times the men, you see the way they behave, they are quite timid. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You just see the way they are. You can tell there was no father figure in this person's life. Except probably he had an uncle or an elder brother or somebody like that. The decisions they make. I was talking to one of our persons in church. You know, the young boy was given a car at barely 20 years old. So when I saw it, when I went to join my wedding and I saw that this, I said, why did they give this one car? Now, some people may think it's love. It's not love, it's foolishness. And they started complaining. I said, he was even doing this. They mentioned, I said, it's you people that caused it. There's a certain kind of hunger that is necessary for this man to grow. A certain kind of hunger. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That he called and they busy the line. And he slept with only Gary. As he sleeps like that, one kind of wisdom will just come to his foot. I'm trying to remember that scripture in the book of Corinthians that speaks about godly sorrow leads to repentance. It was God that said this. So godly sorrow. There's such a thing as godly sorrow. then there are some sorrow that is God that was at the center of it. Because he wants you to metanoion, let your brain change, reset. I said, you are complaining about this thing with this boy. You think you love this boy more than me, like this talking here? You don't love this boy. That's why he has a car. In the university. A guy in the university. What do you expect? All the girls have seen their future husband. All of them. The things that are supposed to be in his front to achieve as destiny, he'll be distracted because of that car. You partner with Satan to make sure he doesn't fulfill destiny. I called my boy. I said, you see that boy? Watch him. Make sure the soul becomes thin. Make sure he's trained properly. You know, I have a younger brother. You people see the way I train him. If you don't pay close attention, you will not even know he's my younger brother. You don't even smile anyhow around me. Because I'm wondering, why are you smiling? He has to be very disciplined. Before they brought him here, I was hearing my mother would call me. Call your brother. Oh, I told him to stay. He has gone to... Where is that? Is it beach? That beach in Lagos. Yeah, he has gone there with his friends. That beach. When you dial his number, he switched off. Because he knows they've reported. And nothing will happen because I'm far. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And my father Mostar is not around. In fact, at the point I observed, my father did not even care again. He was just tired. He has settled in his heart. Do what you want to do. So I knew that it was time for me to come into this situation. And if I enter the house, his spirit is not okay. The first time they came back, you will just see that he will first try to hide his phone somewhere and try to look okay and just come out and greet me and just be watching. Waiting, he can't wait for me to go back to where I'm coming from. I observed it. So I go, bring your phone. I check. Okay, it ceased. At a point, my brother changed my name. I've not said it here before. To hate. It's the first time I've said it. Hate. H-A-T-E. So one day I was checking, many years ago, I was checking the phone. And then, where is my number? So, and I found that I called him not too long. And I saw hate with angry face. I said, no, maybe it's somebody that is disturbing him that he doesn't like. So as I pressed it in, 2-3 at the end, it's my number. So I just raised the phone up to the family. I said, come here. Who is hate? My father was very shocked. You this boy, I've heard. They say, why is it? I'm sorry, sir. So it's because you're the one that will always be shouting on me. You're the one that will always be beating me. You're the one that will always be forcing me to do what I don't want to do. I say, hey. So I'm hit. I nod my head. I say, we're doubling this thing now. Oh my God. I seized the phone again. Because I saw things I didn't understand. At the point, it was even toasting. And I'm wondering, would you be agreeing? I asked one time. I was almost going to call the bell and say, what did this boy have that you are agreeing when they toast you? You don't have sense. This thing, what does he have? Ladies, you people are trying. They can't agree, you people used to agree. So I was surprised that any human being as a lady in this world will agree for this boy. And if you see the person just fall down flat. Is my king, I think they were calling him something like that. I can't remember. Somebody that does not have even money to buy a church card. Is he king? It was time now to take him into the rigorous side. So one day I told him to say, I said, see what this thing you are enjoying? We did not enjoy it. Every time I come, I say, give me transport to go to school. Who bore you? Do you know where my school used to be that time? We have never mentioned, give me transport to go to school. As long as they successfully put you in school, go to school. Your parents are good. Anyhow you arrive in school is your cup of tea. Anyhow you come back from school is your cup. And Gen Z don't understand what we're saying. No? They are wondering, why the hate? Is life supposed to be like that? Gen Z will now say, explain to me why. Give me 3 reasons why they should not give us transport. You are looking for a reason. Those days to ask for a reason is a sin. You are going to be flogged. And there's going to be family meeting. What is your offense? You ask for transport. So I told him, I said, all these things you are enjoying, some of us, we did not see quarter of it and see what became of us. See what became of us. There was one time I didn't even tell people, he ran away from the, he wrote a letter. I cannot survive this family again. Blah, 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 blah. But my name was, I know my name was inside. So he ran away from Makodi. We forced him to enter boarding school. He came back. They say he would jump first. One time I went, Michael was in Gadru. Gadru in command. They locked Michael in Gadru. I said, where is my? They say he's in Gadru. They went and brought him from Gadru. What happened? He jumped first. He was going to somewhere with a friend. Before he didn't say, I don't know where I'm going to. He now came back again. So, And they said, that's not the first time they've caught him on countless that has been entering Gadru. That is, it's like me, I was now asking, is it that he doesn't like hostel? He prefers to sleep in Gadru. We're talking the thing with one FWO, one woman like that. She was saying, don't worry, Pastor, I assure you, I will hold this boy for you. I used to give her money sometimes. This boy, now, before we know, he ran back home. He said he's not going back again. Of course, the mother held her child. He's mommy's boy. We came, we talked to her. When we now say he must, we now wrote later, say he's leaving. So when they call me, they say, Michael, I've left the house. My father wanted to faint. Blah, 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 blah. I say, leave him. He will come back. They say, what? Stop talking like that. Stop. I say, he will come back. So I was taking my wife to her senator. It now dawned on me that actually this boy has run away. I hope he's not being foolish. So I stopped the car. I closed my eye. I owned the car. I said, called my father. This boy is on his way to Lagos. As I picked it, I just said it to them. They went to Benue Links. He did not put his name. He put another name, but put his phone number. So when they dialed the number, they found out it's Michael's phone number. They now had to track that car. They say you should wait, you know, to go. They now remove him and put him inside the manager's office that they are doing break. They can't continue to Lagos. Last time they went and carried that boy. Ocha followed now. That my car drill said, you carried my dad to Otubo and brought him back. Riga. I say in our days, the community will come and judge this matter. It's not only one family. It's the community that will come. It will be as if death happened in your house. Everybody will come in to greet you. Sorry. It's everybody's child. Michael, wait till they worry this for me. Wait till you... After all this, your mama, they do for you, they will go. I don't know how, but for 3 days of it in that family. I didn't want to even say when he came back because my hand, the hand of the Lord was just, I can't wait. So they would have my father now said, nobody should touch him. Pamper him so that he will not run again. I said, that's not what will make him not run. Spare the rod. I said, lock this boy up, sir. Fire him the way you fired us. I don't know why the firing is reducing now when it came to this one. My dad was consoling, the foolishness was increasing. One day I heard that my dad locked the room. Emeris locked the room, remove his belt, that military belt. Didn't mind where iron was. Pwah, pwah. Immediately the next day, sense came back straight. Collected his phone, sold the phone. He had no phone again. He was, if you see the way he started working hard. I said, now we're seeing a barrack boy. There's something, such a thing as godly sorrow. Are you listening to me? The Bible says it leads to what? Repentance. Some of you want chewing gum Christianity, ice cream Christianity. You go scriptures like, God bless my mouth with sweet things. Satisfy my youth with good things, which is true, but not at the detriment of you growing to become foolish. If you are God, this state of you right now, does it deserve $30 million? In case you don't know $30 million, go home and calculate this night what $30 million is. The God am I, the saver. am I? In the name of Jesus. The next day you come out, somebody poured water mistakenly. God will punish you, bastard. So this mouth, if truly you believe your word was the word of God, and you declared money to come, then is it the same mouth you call somebody, God will punish you, bastard? You think it will not follow that person? Imagine that everything you are insulting people works. Some people will be walking as monkeys now. Some will be gods. Some, because you see, you don't know who you were. That is why after declaring, you see insulted with the same mouth. You think you should enter into your rest with that kind of mouth? Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Some are trusting to be influential. But even right now, they don't respect leadership. God is taking you to a position, you can see it, where you have influence over people, influence over nations, in business, in ICT, in medicine. But right now, you don't respect leadership. You are getting to a very high point, level of leadership, and you don't even respect leadership. You are making it very difficult for God to take you there. Because except you were first a good follower, you can never be a good leader. If you ever see a good leader, he was a very good follower. Are you all listening to me? The Israelites, they had a bad mentality. A very bad mentality. It was extended many years later into slavery because of what they did to Moses. Who made a judge over us? The years were extended. Why? They dishonored the one God has chosen to be ahead over them. That was not all. We thought that now that God has crowned Moses before their very eyes, coupled with the fact that Moses displayed the hand of God in that assembly like no one ever did, we thought that these people will never question the authority of God again through the life of Moses. But that didn't happen. Was it not true, Moses, that God, they were running away from Egypt going? You know, it's more like Pharaoh said, go. They were not going with one mind. They knew Pharaoh may change his mind. The way they were moving sharp and running, and they are now before a Red Sea. And everybody is scared. Not knowing, imagine yourself before the Red Sea. God said, go. And now you are before the Red Sea. What the heck is wrong with this leader if you cannot talk directly to God? You may start questioning God through the leader. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? See the Red Sea. How do we go? God asks Moses, what is in your hand? He said, just stick. I just carry one stick that is helping me. Blah, blah, blah. I said, that stick, I want to use it. You know, why God had to display his power through Moses was not because of anything, but to make sure that Moses' stature as a leader is really highlighted in the heart of the people. And when he stretched his hands, the rod, the Red Sea was parted. I mean, you can see that kind of mighty miracle. Imagine it. Go and read about the Red Sea today. You understand the kind of miracle that happened that day. It was parted. They didn't go like this, like a curve. No. There was suddenly a bridge in less than a few seconds. Bridge was made. I mean, this one is taking so many years already. I wonder how many years the second one would take. This one took a few seconds. A few seconds. And the Bible said the children of Israel walked as if it was dry ground. As if it was what? As if there was no trace of water there again. By this time, it was covered, arranged. They were walking. They went. But because God did not create that same path for the Egyptians, when they tried to walk, God asked, is it for you? And the angels just covered it because they did it for Israelites. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? And they saw that act. A fair number of their enemies died. The Egyptians you see today, you shall see no more. That's where God is slogan from. And they kept on moving. Now they can't see Egyptians again. What I'm trying to say is that now you've left the world. You are from the world. You are born again. No more parties for you. No more old friends. You've left everything. But now, it doesn't mean you're entering the rest immediately. There has to be mind renewal. The Holy Ghost, who is the surety, Ephesians 1 through 13, is the surety that everything that we have received by Jesus in salvation becomes our reality in the physical. So you see, if you don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you will just admire what Jesus has done and never enter into its reality. Except you walk with the Holy Ghost. Little wonder, one of our blessed generals who is still alive today, Benny Hinn, Pastor Benny Hinn, wrote a book called Good morning, Holy Spirit. Where He taught us how to walk with the Holy Spirit. Are we together? Hallelujah to Jesus. They left the world. They sang probably the song Goodbye World. And they now felt like after this defeat, God saving them from the world and the evil in the world, everything would just be promised land afterwards, rest. But no, the rest has been prepared. But the Bible says you will labor to enter into that rest. It said there's a rest prepared for the children of God. Get that scripture from me, media. It said, but you shall labor to what? Enter into that rest. What was the labor in there? It's not hard work. It's not farming. We saw where Paul spoke about laboring. He said, give double honor to them who labor in the word and in doctrine and prayer. So laboring involves you digging the truth of God's word in the Bible and praying in the spirit. That's laboring there. Trying to tap into the possibilities that have been given to you in Christ Jesus. And that is only possible by the help of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that helps you to see God's word, and he's the one that helps you to pray. Isn't that interesting? He helps you to know the word of God. Then he helps us to pray Romans 8. John 15 and 16. He helps us to know the word of God. It is expedient that I go, Jesus speaking, else the Holy Ghost will not come. And when he comes, everything about me, he shall what? Reveal unto you. Then talking about the Holy Ghost helping us pray. He said we don't know how to pray as we ought to, but the Holy Ghost helped our infirmity with what? Groanings, our words cannot express. Verse 26 of Romans 8. The Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13, Paul still speaking, who is the surety that everything we have seen in salvation becomes our reality in the physical. So how can you touch this sin except by the help of the Holy Ghost? And of course, as he's teaching you and guiding you to fulfilling destiny, he will lead you in the path of righteousness for the name of Jesus' sake. You know what I mean by that? Because for instance, if you are not grown yet, are you listening to me? Imagine you were taught Jesus 50% yet. There may be limitation on the strength of the 50% later you don't know. Do you people understand what I'm trying to say? Should I come again? If you have knowledge 50% and you are supposed to let's imagine you are a doctor who understands just physiology but not anatomy yet. Alright? As a doctor, you are supposed to understand physiology, anatomy, what again? Biochemistry. What? Microbiology and the rest of them, isn't it? Now imagine you just choose two and say that's where your strength stops. Then you want to go and operate a child. Then I say, what? Say everybody has a choice. Oh, me, I just learned anatomy and a little bit of physiology, and I think I'm okay. It's my choice. Can I operate your baby? How many of you agree? Carry your choice away. That's what many people will say. We respect your choice. Just go with your choice. Now imagine you were taught the word of God 50% by the Holy Spirit yet. Alright? But you are supposed to address a problem that needed 100%. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Now how would the Holy Ghost help you if he doesn't direct you to go to live beyond that problem? This is what I mean. I did that in here one time. Can you remember the example? Let's have three people come. Just two people, come fast. One there, one here, and take this for the word of God. Alright? Or can I have one person stay here to hold the word of God? Just hold it for us. Now, this man, for instance, is supposed to fulfill destiny. Are we together? He's supposed to get to that level. Let me use somebody that has blazers. I remember, let's just change. You go and you come. So let's take this to be the measure, the word of God. No, okay, go close. Can I have somebody come here to the middle? Have any lady, come to the middle. Come forward now, anybody. Alright, face the people from the middle. Alright. Now, this man is supposed to get there. Alright? Because he doesn't have the word of God fully yet. Now, I want to stay as the Holy Spirit now, leading him. So I'm teaching him the word, but he has learned 50% yet. So he doesn't have full vision, because in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word became what? The life became what? So the word of God is our light. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So since he has 50%, he doesn't have the full view yet. Do we agree with that? Now, so he's working. But he cannot see everything yet because he just knows the word of God 50% yet. This is where the beauty of obeying the Holy Spirit comes in. There's a woman at the front now who is going to be a limitation. And listen, what can a man offer in exchange of what? What can a man offer in exchange of what? Can you keep a soul and replace that soul with a city? Do you people get what I just asked you? Can a city replace a soul? Can a country replace a soul? What can a man offer in exchange of one soul? Listen carefully. This was the foundation upon which America were founded by the Abraham Lincolns and the rest. That is why one American citizen is as important as the entire America. That's why they can go out and fight for one person. Now you get what I'm trying to say? But we don't understand these things. That is why 200 people can die and the country is still moving forward. Because they don't understand the value of souls. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Now, this man, for instance, is supposed to go to Abuja. But he's growing in the Lord. He's supposed to go to Abuja. God is seeing one lady that Satan has kept. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? In that area, that has the potency to destroy this man. Now, he's going as a good boy. Oh, he means no harm. And if he forces himself to go, we won't bless him. But maybe pastor is telling him, be around. But you see, the job opportunities he's seeing there is too juicy. They are compelling him. Maybe the family are compelling him. You have suffered too much. Come there and rest. And pastor is like, I understand everything, but stay around. I don't know why the Spirit of God is saying stay around. Maybe he now thinks it's for pastor's personal interest. Maybe pastor cannot replace him, probably. He's thinking. So he now decides to go. Meanwhile, the Holy Ghost has told us, don't go. Because what can a man offer in what? A change of his soul. The soul matters more to God. As he goes now, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 2 months, nothing is happening. He's still fine. All of a sudden, a situation leads to a situation that he missed the lady. And now, he now makes a mistake. He's no more in the path of righteousness. The Bible says he leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Because at the beginning, when this guy said, I received Jesus, he is in the name of Jesus. When he becomes born again, he is in the name of Jesus. He begins to live in him, breathe in him, and he now has gotten God's being in the name of Jesus. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? The day you became born again, you were living from the name. But you didn't have the complete revelation of the name you're operating from. I trust God you people are understanding me tonight too. Huh? Have you ever heard any of your family members say this is not what the so-so family stands for? How many of you have heard your family people talk to you like that? This is not what the so-so family stands for. You did something wrong and they are telling you this is not what the so-so family stands for. But you have been bearing their name from birth. And they are correcting you every day so that you don't misrepresent their name. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? The day we became born again, we bear the name of Jesus. So because of his namesake, he will not have to lead us in the path of righteousness, even though we are not grown-ups yet. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you now? So you see, because of the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit now has to instruct him. Just because of his soul, don't go to an entire city. Because he knows this guy will definitely mess up. There's more possibility to mess up there. But he goes and he's cut short. But if he listens to the Holy Spirit, see the beauty of obedience now. As he listens, maybe the Holy Spirit will say, take this route. He gives him another instruction, he follows, and he's going. He keeps on learning. See, he has overcome the temptation without facing the temptation. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Do you people understand what I'm trying to say? And he gets to this point where he is complete in Christ, not lacking anything. From this point, God has no problem. He's not scared because he knows this man can overcome anything that comes his path. Do you know what I'm trying to make you people understand? That it is not, it's not a must that as a Christian you must face plenty problems. If you learn to walk with the Holy Spirit, you will not face a lot of problems. But if you are stubborn, you will face many. And that, in that godly sorrow, it will lead to what? Repentance. Did I confuse you this evening? Are you confused? This is Jesus speaking. For instance, in John 15, he says he was speaking something about the vine dresser and the vine. Let's read John 15 from verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is what? Next part of scripture. It says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he what? That it may bear more fruit. Now, this is the algorithm. Now, see what he now says about the 12th. Next part of scripture. He then says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Meaning because of God's word have been spoken to them and heard by them and received by them, believed by them, he said they are clean. They will not need to face anything that will bring them to a point where the word of God will need to work on their inside. Are you listening to me? Just like Pastor Fina listened to every voice of the Lord. You see, he got to that point now. Are you listening to me? Without facing any trial, any limitation. Why were the children of Israel in the wilderness? Not because God wants them in the wilderness. Don't think that the moment you become born again, God will now say, okay, let's go to the wilderness. People of God. It was because the Bible told us their mindset were bad. And for almost every Christian, almost, not all, we are coming from somewhere even though we declare we are born again. Our old mind needs to be what? Removed for the new mind to find expression. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? That season when there is replacement of mindset is what most people call wilderness, and what of course I believe to be called the wilderness, where old mindset needs to be replaced by what? New ones. Are you all getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. But many people don't pass this test because they don't want to leave the old mindset. The Bible said, Jesus speaking, I cannot put what? In what? I cannot put what? In what? You want new result in old patterns. It's not possible. It's not possible. So the patterns, the wrong patterns have to go away for new result to come. I mean, your prayer does not replace new mindsets. Thank God. It's beautiful. Keep on praying. But you see, if your mindset is not changed, you are just a clanging cymbal. Because the goal of prayer is to build up your faith that first came by hearing the word. So if you never had a revelation, if you never took a hold of your heart, your prayer will not produce any result. But you don't know how to talk. You have a bad character. You don't know how to talk to people. You don't know how to handle finances. When somebody borrows you money, they have to fight you to collect it. They have to explain to you to collect it back. You always like to keep malice. But if it comes to tongues, we know you to pray 5 hours in tongues. Listen, brothers and sisters, the Bible calls that a clanging cymbal. You are just making noise. He said, if you pray in tongues of men and of angels and have no love, the word have there, the original also can be called no. You know no love. He said, you are what? Nothing. Who is God? God is love. Meaning you can pray in tongues of men and of angels and not know God. That's what Paul is saying. In fact, he said you can come to a point that you can give all your money, do all the kind of fasting, look religious. There are many people who look religious who don't have God in their hearts. Little wonder Jesus came to his own. The Bible said his own word received him. They were very religious folks. They were fasting. Yet when our Savior came to them, they rejected our Savior. That was not the height of it. They took our Savior to Pilate. Of course, to Pilate. Imagine. And Pilate, seeing how terrible, I was watching a documentary on Jesus, and they were speaking about that crown with thorns. Is it Bethlehem thorns or whatever they call it? That thorns that they used to crown Jesus, that the edge of those thorns are as hard as nails. And they were like 16, probably 20, but I know they caught something that was close to 20 in number, that pierced his head, literally. That when they wore that crown on him, it pierced his head, it entered into his head. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That was what Jesus was working with. I mean, at the time they brought Jesus to Pilate, they've already crowned him with thorns. Look at the depth of pain he was inside. Pilate, looking at Jesus, he was wondering, what has this man done? Had a vision that troubled him. According to historians, Pilate later became a Christian on his way back to Rome. Hallelujah to Jesus. And his wife told him, don't put your hand in this matter. Then Pilate came back and he wanted Jesus to leave at all costs. He said, I bring to you this great bandit. Imagine they cast the founder of Boko Haram. I think now we should change it to the founder of Book Fulani Haram. Imagine they catch the founder of Fulani Haram. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And they keep him and say, oh Benue, see the man terrorizing our local government that determined the death of those 200 folks in Yelwata. They've caught the man. Who do you choose for freedom? Jesus or Fulani Haram leader? And imagine the whole people shouted, Fulani Haram leader. That man was a wicked man that he would steal from people, collect their money and kill them. He was a trouble to the entire community. But because of how much Satan wanted truth to leave the community, he said, he spoke to their heart. It was Satan. I watched a documentary. The man said it was Satan shouting through their voice. They gave voice to the devil. Crucify him. Crucify. How do we know it was Satan? The Bible says if he had known Satan, he would have known what? Crucified. It was Satan speaking to. And is it not interesting that he found free flow through the hearts of religious leaders? Isn't that interesting? That leaders, high priests were shouting, crucify him. They didn't stop there. They say, his blood be upon us and our children. The height of wickedness. Why? Because Satan wanted them to be comfortable in that rubbish they are living. Satan likes to, he starts lying. Then he creates system to sustain the lies. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Satan, oh my goodness. He will not only start something that is wrong. He will create system. In fact, he will make sure there is money available to sustain his lies. That a particular denomination of the church is rich does not mean they are working in the truth. I tell you, when Satan starts a lie, he backs it, he sustains it. Thank God for men like Derek Prince who exposed this truth. Lucifer exposed. We are exposing Satan to you right now. What did Paul write to us in 2 Thessalonians? He said, if we have written about the second coming to you, about Jesus' coming and the rest, he said, those letters, just keep them aside for now. He said, for that day will not come except the word. Son of man of sin, the son of perdition, Satan, is revealed from the altars. It simply means he has been cascading himself like God in the altar. Are you even getting what I'm trying to say? Somebody is calling the name of God, but he's representing Satan in the altar. It's like Satan has to be unraveled, descent out from anything that connects to God, so that God is not misrepresented before people. Imagine God is misrepresented. Is the truth. Many people don't hate God. They hate the God that's represented to them by religion. Many people that hate God, they never encountered God. It was what church presented to them as God that they are calling God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain this wonderful evening? Look at how wicked religious leaders were. Because Satan wanted them sustained in that low life. See what God went through to come down to the earth. 9 months. He didn't break any law. 9 months in the womb of a woman. Are you listening to me? Came out as a child. Grew. He didn't want us to think that this was one mysterious blah blah. He wanted us to see that he followed the process. Just so that he would come out and represent humanity the way humanity should be represented. But of course, whatever they were doing were part of the plan. In their heart, Satan thought he was trying to distort God's plan. That somebody was bringing light, he's making the people who are victims to hate him. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Victim of a situation. He's coming to take them out of the situation, yet the victims have a problem with him. Like the children of Israel said to Moses, who made you a judge over us? And while they were in the wilderness, look at the height of indiscipline they portrayed. How they spoke to Moses. At a point, Moses said, I'm fed up with these guys. I'm fed up. They don't understand what you want to do, Father. And at a point, when the angel want to send fire upon them, he will still go and beg. They say, take us back to the land. At least there's food to eat there. We were slaves, but what? There was food there. So take us back there. Well, we left something. It was a miracle we left there. He was wondering, you know, at a point God was asking, have they forgotten the mighty works I showed in taking them out from Egypt to the promised land? Why are they complaining? Didn't they see the days these people Red Sea was parted? Imagine you were part of the people that Red Sea was parted. You walked through. Then all of a sudden, would you have the impetus to question the integrity of God in the wilderness? You know, somebody may say, no, wait till you are there. Oh, don't make mud yet. Because those people did not have mental problems before they started complaining. The thought was not, yes, we remember the miracle. Yes, we understand this. Yes, we understand what you did. Yeah, this by. In fact, while they were complaining, there was still fire by cloud by day. They were complaining the cloud by day in the mercies of God. That's what is happening to some of us now. We are complaining under the mercy of God. Under the mercy of God, cloud by day. And there's still fire by night. They are still complaining at night while God is showing them his mercy. I heard the story of a woman in Abuja. And it was in Abuja. The pastor was speaking about a story he heard. Yes, at Ibadan to Lagos Road. And that a woman was telling them how that she was in a vehicle and she was kidnapped. And after a while, when she was released, she was telling them that what got her interested in the whole thing is, the most interesting part is not that she was even kidnapped, that there was a certain woman who wanted to cross the road, and they were talking, should we kidnap this woman, should we not, are you sure, let's just leave the woman. He said they just passed, the woman was looking worried, but they contemplated for a while and argued once, just leave that woman, forget about her, let's go. And they left with only her. They did not kidnap the other woman. So she was now wondering, maybe this woman is even going through a lot, but she didn't know what God has just done for her. She's going through a lot too. But meanwhile, there were people. Do you know how many times Satan have attempted something by day and it didn't get to you? Because of the message of God. Yet at that same point, you are wondering why the thing is not working. Are you all listening to me tonight? Look at them in the children of in the wilderness. Look at the hand of God. Not that in the wilderness God will leave us home. He will never leave nor forsake us. He will still be providing, but he still wants the right man's mindset before we hit the jackpot. Now in this wilderness, are you not seeing the hand of God? At a point when the season, the thing is quite tough, somehow God will just stretch his hand and help you miraculously to get through the season. But you still know that you have not hit jackpot. And don't mistake his present help for an approver towards a particular character you have. That you have a bad character and somehow you cried with the bad character, God help us. No, mean he's saying that I agree with the bad character. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? Do you understand what I just said? You don't know how to talk. You prayed, God helped you. Does not mean he's saying, the help does not mean he's approving you're not knowing how to talk. Meanwhile, in the realm of spirit, if you can hear the voice of the spirit, he's like, stop that talking anyhow. That's what is limiting you to entering into your rest. Where you don't need to cry to me for anything. Everything you want is there. Will I not through Jesus freely give you all things? Jesus is the focal point here. He wants you to be like Christ. That's the source to getting everything, receiving everything. Meaning your being like Christ is more important than anything to God. Not because he wants to just take the glory and say you are like Christ. That's it. Mm-mm. If you are like Christ, imagine Christ in scriptures. Remember Jesus. Where in scriptures did Jesus ever lack? When there was 5 loaves of bread, 2 fishes. Imagine, he thanked the Father. There were so plus. People ate to the brim. Now, be on the Christ side. I've said that before. Not on the word Christ side. Don't be the one looking for bread and fish to eat. Why not just step up a little bit to the level of Jesus? Be the one that is blessing bread and fish and making them multiply. That's the realm he wants you to come into. That realm where you hear that somebody is dead and you thank the Father, knowing that when you declare, come out from that tomb, the person will come out from the tomb. This is bigger than just going to live with your father and mother right now. I wish somebody can catch me. You are trying to run back home and go and enjoy and etc. But God is bringing you to that realm of Jesus, so that when you hear tomorrow that somebody dies in your home, you can say in the name of Jesus, come back to life. When you hear there's sickness trying to come against your mom, you can say in the name of Jesus, sickness be gone. Which one will make you happier? The fact that tomorrow you can say, mother, in the name of Jesus, I disagree, you cannot die. Or that you went and stayed with them and you were comfortable with them in the wilderness, and eventually somebody died and you had nothing to do about it. So, which will make you more happier? The fact that they are alive and you are enjoying life with them, or the fact that you came and are comfortable with them, refusing to pay the price for the anointing, and tomorrow something knocks at your door, Satan knocks at your door, and he prevails. Are you catching what I'm trying to explain? It will never be the same training ground if you must be the savior in that family. It will never be. It will never be. You must embrace this season of change in your life. This place of this is a place of preparation. God is preparing you. He's preparing you. A time will come that you understand the purpose of this anointing. I tell you, anytime I speak to people, my mind is blown. You know, I was speaking to a brother not too long, and the way God was exposing, he started crying on the phone. The first time we were speaking, and I was wondering, imagine I never wanted to be anointed years ago. How will God touch this brother right now? How will God confirm his words in the heart of this brother? And he was relieved for a moment. But imagine, years ago, instead of praying in the spirit, I said I want to go and do another thing. Are you listening to me? Don't embrace comfort right now. That place, when I say comfort, I don't mean don't rest. That place that makes you comfortable and not walking towards purpose. Then Satan begins to paint pictures in your heart. Look at that, your friend. Are they not Christian? They go to church on Sunday. She has a husband. He has a wife. See their car. Blah, blah, blah. What is there? God, they will still go to heaven. Is that what you are thinking? Is that how you want to see life right now? Is it about going to heaven? You've been called by the Lord to make sure many souls don't perish. I hope you understand that if this gospel is not preached to many people that have not encountered Jesus, they will perish. There are billions yet untold of the gospel. Don't you want to be part of the story of the salvation of many? You don't just want to live regular life, give birth to children, grow up and die. No! That's not what God has called us into. That's why we're not living like everybody. The Bible says, as faithful soldiers of Jesus, Paul speaking, he said, at some point you endure hardship. You enjoy it. Because you are enjoying it for something. Not this ice cream Christianity alone. No, there's a place for enjoyment and the rest. But see, till Jesus comes, till the second coming, to the parousia, we must keep on making unique impacts, going to villages, to towns, to city, making sure that Satan is losing in winning souls, in the winning of souls business. We must. How many of you want to explore that kind of life? That you are part of the salvation story of billions. That's what you call a life of purpose. That wherever you are, in the hospital, in the ICT world, anywhere you are, God is bringing billions to the kingdom. He's bringing men and women to the kingdom. He's bringing nations to the... When you step your leg there, God has seen a man to use. That today we say, go to Brazil. Immediately you hit Brazil, you begin to sense the anointing. There are many people there, but God has seen a Moses to use. God has seen a Savior to use. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? And He begins to use you immediately. That is why sometimes some of you have not figured out. You are in a community of people. Maybe you have neighbors, and all of a sudden you begin to have dreams for this neighbor, for that neighbor, for this family member. Why do you think God is flowing through you? He's painting a picture that it is you I have called. It is you that is the light. It is through you I want to touch them. So I don't know why, oh, my neighbor, I don't know, but I saw this dream. And when you say the dream, they say, it is true. It is true. You are another person in the community. It is true. Somebody far from your house. It is true. You know God is marking the territory for you. This is what I've given you. I want you to begin to take from this point. Take from that point. You know why I'm showing you these people? You know I'm speaking to them through you? Because I want you to be a voice in this era, in this place, in this territory. What are you supposed to do? Not stop there. Not stop there. That may be your burning bush now, drawing your attention to destiny. You begin to pray. You begin to pray. You begin to pray in the spirit. You carry your Bible like a fool. Paul said, I will not be ashamed of the gospel. He said, it is the power of God unto salvation to them who believe. You are seeing people on their path to hell, to destruction. You can't help it. There is no skills you need to maintain here. Are you listening to me? It doesn't matter whether you are a fine boy or a fine girl. We mean business right now. You carry your Bible. You look like a foolish man, but you are excited. You are going out of your way with a lot of passion, yet with good understanding. And I'm teaching people the ways of the Lord. Do you know what you are doing in the realm of the spirit when you do these things? It says, he that winneth a soul, the Bible says strictly, it says, he that winneth soul is wise. He's a wise person. There is no way to describe it. The writer just said he's wise. Let's just leave it like that. That person is wise. There are billions yet untold. In modern market, in Wadata, in Wurukun, there are many people in your area. How were you able to sleep for a week? Are you listening to me? This fire, you must carry it into your community. No, it must go through your family. It must spread everywhere. It must spread through your neighborhood. That's why he started little by giving you those little visions. Are you hearing me tonight? Is somebody charged up this very evening? You are in your place of preparation for a reason. You will enter that rest. But right now, embrace the full ministry of the Holy Spirit. And listen, sometimes it is small foxes that spoil the vine. There are some things in your heart this season I sense by the Spirit that God will begin to correct. Some wrong mentalities. They are very small, but they have the potency to spoil the whole vine. Are you listening to me? That you not hearing, that you talking anything anyhow, without validating, that you enjoying conversation that will not glorify God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? That you not obeying leadership, that you talking against leadership, that you questioning authority, that those little foxes, they have the potency to what? Spoil the vine. That you coming late. That you not agreeing to anything important. That you don't always want to just disobey. Just want to argue. That small thing is not highlighted so obviously like every other sin. But it's a sin. It is a small fox. But it has the potency to what? Spoil the vine. I can go further to say that you chatting with any lady you see on Facebook. That you chatting with anybody you see on WhatsApp. That you enjoying conversation. You know, I've had some young boys in my office. I was talking to them one time. I said, if you are just talking anyhow, and the message of God is there, is real. It's real. But you just wake up every morning, you just be talking anyhow with ladies online, blah, blah, blah. You call yourself a man of God. I said, God cannot use you. And they're like, we thought pastor understands grace. Yes, I understand grace. The Bible says, let's conclude with this scripture. 1 Corinthians 2. Give me from verse 9. But as it is written, let's read together. Eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, nor the things which God has prepared for those who love. So, what God has prepared for those who what? How many of you love God? Now, let's quote the scripture that says, if you what, you will what? If you what, you what? If you what? The love of God is 1 John 5:3. Let's read together in the NKJV version. 1 John 5:3. Let's read together. Everyone read. Want to go? For this is the love of God. That we what? And is what? What is the love of God? The things eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, entered into the heart of men, God has kept for those that would, aka those that would keep his commandment. You see that? Those that would keep his commandment. Those that keep his word. The doers of his word. Because if people who don't keep his commandment enter into these things that we are talking about now, what eyes have not seen, eyes will see terrible things. Ears will hear terrible things. God doesn't like to waste resources. You hear atrocities. So he said, for those that love me. He goes further to explain, those that keep my word. Then he says here, consoling. He said, this is the love of God. 1 John 5:3 again. That we habitually, in the Amplified rendition, let's see it in the Amplified rendition. It says that we habitually keep his commandment and remain focused on his precepts. And his commandment and his precepts are not difficult to obey. That is the bone of contention. He said they are not difficult to obey. Do you believe this part of the Bible? He said they are not what? Difficult to obey. They are not. Firstly, to enjoy the promise of God, don't say they are. When he said they are not, they are not. Now tell your neighbor, living for God is not difficult. This is where you start from. I was talking to a brother and I told him, listen, there was such a thing God taught me years ago. Anytime we talk about Satan and I see people shaking, I'm annoyed. I don't like people to feel one kind when we talk about Satan. You see, no matter what Satan can do, what God has already done is a billion times going to cover anything Satan can do and will ever be able to do in his life. So I was describing to him how years ago as a student in 200 level, I couldn't see the end of demons in a vision. And I woke up in fear. I couldn't pray. And scripture upon scripture, God began to quote in my heart. He said, you're on Christ, the solid rock, and the gate of hell will not prevail against you. He now went ahead and told me, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the Lord, in an innumerable multitude of angels. That consoled me. Now reminded me of the story of Elisha. Is it Elisha or Elijah? Who had soldiers on the mountains coming for him. And when his servant was crying, Master, we are finished, etc. Isn't it? What did... Is it Elisha? Elisha, right? What did Elisha say? Elisha said, Lord Almighty, open the eyes of your servant so that he may see. And when his eyes were open, he saw angels to a point he couldn't even see those soldiers again. The angels outnumbered the soldiers. Then he now understands, this is why my master has been calm all this while. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? What determined the calm of Elisha? Not anything but for the fact that he had spiritual sight. He was seeing what ordinary eyes cannot see. Because the things that are not seen are more real. And do you know why when they talk about sin, I'm not moved? I want to show you what I'm saying. I'm not moved because Romans 6 and 4 is a spiritual reality. It's my reality. Let's quote it. Very fast media, as we try to close. It says, we have therefore been buried with him through baptism into death. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory and the power of the Father, we too might habitually in newness of life, abounding our old ways. Our old ways. We've left our old ways. Given the TPT rendition, these are spiritual realities. The TPT. It says, sharing in his death by our baptism means that we were co-buried and entombed with him. So that when the Father's glory raised Christ from the dead, we were also raised with him. We have been co-resurrected with him so that we could be empowered to walk in the freshness of new life. Oh, glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. This is what I'm seeing that will make me look at somebody who is saying sin and hyping the devil and I'm not moved. The only thing I need to say is the Lord give them a revelation of your word. Just like Elisha was not moved. He was seeing something. They are seeing everything they are seeing as advantage in the physical, but you are calm. There's something you see in the realm of the spirit that is determining your calm, your peace. Peace beyond human phantom. Peace beyond human understanding. They don't know why you are calm. Even in this situation, they don't know why you are calm. Even in the city, they don't know why you are just okay and feel at peace. There is an understanding you have. There's something you are seeing. This understanding, the word of God has become your light. You have vision in the spirit. They are seeing soldiers in the physical who have the probability to destroy them, but you are seeing angels only. Listen, the Bible says when the eyes of Gehazi were opened, he did not see one soldier, physical soldier. All he saw were angels. They outnumbered and heeded all of the soldiers that were surrounding Elisha. That is why Elijah was not careful. He was careful for nothing. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's why Elijah was not. He did not see anything. He did not see any opposition. There is no devil in my world. That's why we stood for myself things like that. I don't see Satan. Christ before me. Christ behind me. Christ by my side. Christ on my head. Christ in my family, my children, my business. Christ in everything I do. I've lost in the consciousness of Christ and I've lost consciousness of the devil. I've lost the consciousness of the devil by the so-called consciousness of Christ. I have been lost in light. I can't see no trace of darkness. So when you always talk like this, we're not telling you that, say, you know, some Christians are angry with us that we make Satan look small. He's actually small, brother. Oh dear Jesus, he's small. In the book of Revelation, the Bible said most of us will wonder at the end of the world. That in that little thing, this little thing, Satan, is he the one that troubled the whole world? Can't you pick it now? Thank God for the book of Revelation. We should pick it now that is little from now, because at the end we'll discover it's little. He's little. How comes this major impact? He's affected. The mind is so powerful. The battlefield is the mind, subjecting every thought that seems to raise itself above the knowledge of Christ. That you will not die by a disease because in your mind you are agreeing that you will not die. It's unbelievable, but it's the truth. So guard your heart with all diligence, because anything that enters your heart will prevail. If it rises from your heart, it will prevail. Guard your heart. Whatever is good, think of them. Whatever is nice, think of them. He said, guard your heart. It is garbage in, garbage out. Guard your heart. It is what gets into your heart that comes out in times of pressure, that comes out in times of situations. Wrong, tough situations. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Guard your heart. Fill your heart with beautiful things. Fill your heart with wonderful things. This is a place of preparation. Guard your heart. Fill your heart. Fill your heart. Joshua 1:8. It said, the book of the word, the law should not depart from your heart and your mouth. Meditate upon it day and night. And in doing so, you will cause your path to be prosperous. And you shall have what? Good success. Tell somebody, I am gladly in my days of preparation. And I will allow the Holy Ghost to walk in me. And he said, there is no big boy in this. Don't claim one stature you don't have in the realm of the spirit. Don't claim it. Humbly, the Bible says, like little children, embrace the sincere milk of God's word. What you don't know, you don't know. Are you listening to me? Don't claim you know. You are not trying to impress. You cannot impress me in this church. Don't see visions you are not seeing. Don't tell what you are not seeing. You know, sometimes people lie that they see because other people are seeing. You are not a liar. And probably you have the calling of a prophetess. You have peace with God and peace with men. What you see, you declare. What you don't see, you find. If God is using one of your brethren in the faith, you are excited. You are not aching to be the one that should be used. You are working with the Holy Ghost.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.